Get rid of that. Good morning. This is a meeting of the House Committee on Regional Affairs. We will come to order. It is March 26 at 8 a.m. Members present are Representative Clayman, Representative Jonathan Christ Tompkins, Representative Thompson, Representative Drummond, and myself, Representative Hannon. We do have a quorum to conduct business, and before we begin, I'd like to remind everyone to silence their cell phones. Today, our recording secretary is Lori Rowland, and Doug Bridges is our LIO moderator, assisting with teleconference support. Thank you both. My staff is Arna Liebelt back here. If you need to communicate with members at the table, please do so through him. We will be having our first hearing on House Bill 72, Black History Month. Following House Bill 72, we'll have a presentation on the new community database by the Division of Community and Regional Affairs of the Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development. We will now start with House Bill 72, an act establishing the month of February as Black History Month. My intention is to hear the bill and take public testimony today. We'll then set the bill aside till our next meeting. Representative Story and her staff will introduce themselves for the record and then introduce their bill.
Representative Andy Story.
I'm staff to Representative Story, Caitlin Ellis. Thank you for your time considering the bill.
Please proceed.
Thank you, Co-Chair Hannon and the rest of the committee for hearing this bill this morning. House Bill 72 establishes February as Black History Month. It celebrates and honors the contributions African Americans have made to Alaska and the United States. In recent years, the legislature has offered resolutions recognizing Black History Month. House Bill 72 and its companion Senate Bill 40, sponsored by Senator L.V. Gray Jackson, would enshrine this recognition into statute. With passage of House Bill 72, Alaska is closer to joining other states and other nations in officially adopting Black History Month. The adoption of Black History Month acknowledges and promotes the history and continued work of African Americans who contribute to the growth of our nation and to Alaska's culture, community, workforce, and economic development. Through the passage of this bill, the Alaska State Legislature helps ensure Alaskan citizens will learn of the contributions of people like Anchorage School Board member and Alaska State Senator Betty Davis, the first African-American woman elected to the Senate in 2000. She also served as chair of the State Board of Education and Early Development and in the Alaska House of Representatives from 1991 to 1996. Before starting her career in government, she was a social worker. She was a mentor to many and made life better for children all across Alaska. And there is attorney and scholar Mahala Ashley Dickinson, who was Alaska's first African-American attorney. In 1983, Dickerson was the first African-American to be elected president of the National Association of Women Lawyers. Dickerson established a law practice in Anchorage in 1959. One of her most notable cases was an equal pay lawsuit filed on behalf of a female professor at the University of Alaska. It was one of the first cases representing women professors at an American university whose salaries were lower than their male counterparts. Dickerson initially lost the case, but the court's decision was reversed on appeal in 1975. I believe this bill promotes cross-cultural understanding and honors the cultural diversity in our communities in our state. Please join me in supporting this bill.
If I may, Caitlin Ellis, staff to Rep Story, I'll add a bit of historical context to Black History Week. It was created by Carter G. Woodson, first called Negro History Week. This was 1926 in Washington, and he did so to ensure that children would be exposed to Black history. He chose the second week of February, again it was a week at the time, in order to celebrate the birthday of Lincoln and Frederick Douglass. That was the initial mindset behind that. He created the week with two goals in mind, and now I'm quoting an article by Lonnie Bunch. She says, one was to use history to prove to white America that blacks had played important roles in the creation of America and thereby deserved to be treated equally as citizens. In essence, Woodson, by celebrating heroic black figures, be they inventors, entertainers, soldiers, hoped to prove our worth, and by proving our worth, he believed that equality would soon follow. His other goal was to increase the visibility of black life and history at a time when few newspapers, books, and universities took notice of the black community, except to dwell upon the negative. Ultimately, Woodson believed Negro History Week, which became Black History Month in 1976, would be a vehicle for racial transformation forever. Also quoting the author, Lonnie Bunch, she says, "Hopefully a renewed Black History Month can focus attention on the importance of preserving African American culture. That's why we brought this bill forward. Here in the state, many communities have their own ways of celebrating, recognizing Black History Month. Juneau and Fairbanks have beautiful gospel choirs that perform every February. Ours, in alliance with the with great organizations here in town. This year, Anchorage held the first Betty Davis African American Summit. There's different ways that people across the state celebrate this. You know that many resolutions have been brought forward over the years, recognizing one particular February of one particular year. As Black History Month, this is a bill that would change statute to make it a permanent every February in Alaska would be honored that way, although we have honored it in different ways through resolutions in the past. Alaska is would benefit by this bill. We're excited to bring it forward. You'll note in the packet there's a zero fiscal note. And we're happy to take any questions that you have.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Please let the record reflect that Representative Jackson joined us at 8:04. And I think I forgot to say that Representative Rivak is excused and will be absent today. Are there questions from the committee? Representative Jackson.
Thank you. Through the chair, so are you saying that because Black History Month is in February nationally, right? It's been celebrated in Alaska for years. Right?
Right.
So what is this adding? Like, are we going to give days off? I mean, how are we going to recognize it any differently?
Well, we're going to put it in, through the chair. We're going to be putting it into statute so we do not have to have a resolution going forward. Community groups who celebrate this know that the legislature honors this, recognizes it, and is going to have it each February for planning. It promotes cross-cultural understanding. Obviously, it's 1 month that it's designated, but it's intertwined through all the months of the year. It has a zero fiscal note. The state is not planning on putting any money behind events, and it will continue to rely on communities to celebrate as they do.
If I can add, some communities voluntarily do so. That would continue to be the case. In the bill, line 5, Black History Month may be observed. There's no mandates attached to this. However, never before in history has it been part of the Alaska state statutes. That's the only part that's changing. Before, there were resolutions encouraging people to. This essentially does the same, but on a higher level. And previously, a resolution would be brought forward every year, every few years, kind of sporadically. This just makes it so that every year is officially recognized within our statutes. There's no mandates. There's no money behind it, as Representative Story said.
Do you have a follow-up? No. You're thinking. Other members of the committee? We do have some people online who would like to testify, so I'm going to gavel in to start public testimony. Sally Donaldson, are you online and available?
Yes, I'm here.
Go ahead and put your name on the record and give your testimony.
Hello, this is Sally Donaldson from Juneau, Alaska, 530 Park Street, just up the hill. I'd like to thank the co-chairs Drummond and Hannon for, and members of the committee for hearing testimony today on HB 72. I worked in Juneau in the school district for 23 years here in this state and in North Carolina and Georgia previous to that. Black History Month was important during the time that I have been working in schools and in our community. I think that by having Black History Month as a part of Alaska statutes, it's an honor well deserved by the many African Americans who contributed and continue to contribute to Alaska's history. I like what Representative Story stated, that it celebrates many, many accomplishments, both recognized and forgotten. So it's an opportunity for us to honor and to give more importance to Black History Month as we put it in our statutes. Although no appropriation of funds is required for this bill, its value will be priceless, I believe. Alaskans of all ages and schools and communities will recognize the month of February as Black History Month as written in the statutes.
Thank you. There is a question for you.
Yes.
Representative Jackson.
Through the chair, are you saying right now in schools Black History Month is not recognized?
Through the chair, thank you, Representative Jackson, for your question. No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that I believe if it were in the statutes as Black History Month, it would make a statement that our state recognizes this as a month and wants to set aside the entire month of February. No, I don't believe it would take away, and I do know that schools are celebrating Martin Luther King Day as well as Black History Month in February.
Thank you. I see no other questions. Thank you for your testimony today. I've neglected to say, but we were hoping that everyone can keep their testimony to 2 minutes. I'm going to go to my next person online, Celeste Hodge Groden.
Hi, good morning. My name is Celeste Hodge Groden, and I'm calling in support of House Bill 72. I've served as the president of the NAACP in Anchorage for nearly a decade in the 80s, and most recently as the president of the Shiloh Community Development Incorporated. It's a 501c3 nonprofit organization that empowers youth, minorities, and the disadvantaged to improve lives. The organization's goal is to enhance the quality of life of those less fortunate by providing transitional assistance, economical and educational opportunities, job search support, health education, prevention and wellness programs, and youth mentorship. The major emphasis of SCDI is to develop and promote programs that advance minorities, youth, and the disadvantaged in health, education, justice, and economic development. I'm proud to say SCDI is the organization that organized the first Betty Davis African American Summit, Moving Towards Hope Together. We raised our own money from community support. In addition, Shiloh Community Development received a grant to support SCDI's Media Justice Project, a storytelling effort designed to share achievements and contributions of African American trailblazers in Alaska through a series of vignettes. This was needed because locally, we need to know our local African American trailblazers. We've had requests for these vignettes to be shown in our schools. And yes, Black History Month is recognized in our public schools. But when we learned, at least when I was in school, we learned nationally about MLK or about slavery. You know, that's what I remember learning when Black History Month came around in February in our schools. We recognize this year, local trailblazers like Betty Davis, like our very own Alonzo Patterson, like Blanche Louise Preston McSmith, Ashley Dickerson, and the list goes on and on. I urge passage of House Bill number 72 because we need it in order to not only recognize Black History Month, but to keep it alive and to know locally our trailblazers. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I have a, there is a question from Representative Jackson for you.
Through the chair, Celeste, thank you for all that you do in your community. I consider myself a trailblazer, and I did not get an invite to this event. So with all due respect, you know, we all need to be recognized. And until the internal division is healed, we can't expect legislation to do that work.
Any other?
Am I able to respond to that?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. So these individuals were recognized through a process, and the community, it was opened up to the community through SCDI. Individuals could nominate those individuals that they wanted to be recognized. And so it's, you know, hopefully we will receive another grant from Alaska Community Foundation, and perhaps Representative Jackson, you or someone that you know or recognizes your work will submit your name as an individual to be considered.
Representative Jackson.
Thank you. I'm honored to hear that. Through the chair, I do have a question. Did you send out any official invitations?
Let me respond to that. Is we invited the community through our Facebook post. And so no one actually received an invitation. It was done through our Facebook page as a community invite.
Thank you. Any others? Okay. Is there anybody else on OffNet? Some names have jumped around, but I don't think anyone else online. We do have one person here in the room to testify that signed up. Ms. Patterson, Sherry Patterson, please come to the table.
Thank you. My name is Sherry Patterson. I am a 45-year resident of the state of Alaska, and 32 years here in Juneau, the capital city. Thank you for the sponsorship of House Bill 72 to enshrine Black History Month into the statutes. I think it's very important. But I will say that unless it happens in the hearts of people, it really won't make a whole lot of difference, though this is quite appreciated. My heart breaks each February when we have to strive to sponsor events here in the capital city. And it is eventually attended and supported by the community. But as I said, unless something happens in our hearts, it won't go too much further than it already has. Though this is quite appreciated, and please don't get me wrong. I love the fact that I have family members that are honored during this month, and I do support this bill, and it is much appreciated. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Let me see if there are any Sherry, if you'll stay seated, we'll see if there are any questions. Are there any questions from anyone? Well, then I'm going to ask Ms. Patterson a question because she may know this, and Is it Blanche McSmith from Anchorage who was friends with Rosa Parks? I remember learning that growing up.
You know what? I believe she was. Don't quote me, but I believe, yes. I knew Ms. McSmith, and she was quite a force here in the state of Alaska. And one who should really be recognized.
Yeah, and I recollect from our youth growing up that there was a newspaper story about an Anchorage woman whose childhood friend she'd brought up, and that was Rosa Parks, and it was just sort of as the age where I was, Rosa Parks, she's somebody famous, and, you know, reminded of how small the world is.
Yes, yes.
Ms. Patterson, thank you for coming
You're
in
welcome.
This morning, and
thank you so much
for always contributing to our community.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Is there anyone else? Or you had, go ahead. Or for public testimony? You want it? Okay, I'm going to close public testimony. Representative Jackson.
Through the chair, thank you, Mrs. Patterson. I did have the honor of attending your event, and it was fabulous. This lady can sing your hearts into the statutory change. I'm just saying, right? So, you know, don't get me wrong. Don't think that this bill is not appreciated, because it really is.
It is.
But truth and light need to be shined on the whole situation, right? For example, our PFDs was in statutory as well. So what they give, they can take it away. And so we need to look at the whole picture. So again, thank you all for all of your work and for your great intentions in changing the hearts of Alaska. Yeah.
Anything else from the committee? It was my intention to hold this bill to Thursday so we had the opportunity for amendments if anyone had them, but I don't anticipate that we're going to have much controversy or substantive amendments, but I was instructed that it is the protocol to hold them from one to the second meeting before you move that. But I'm looking over at the man who has much more seniority than me and who's telling me I can move the bill. But I believe we'll go ahead and hold it till Thursday's meeting. If you wish to make an amendment, you have until noon tomorrow to submit an amendment to my office, and that would be Wednesday, March 27th, and then we will hear it again with the intention of moving it out on our Thursday meeting. Anything else? All right. We're going to take a brief at ease and set up for the next part of our meeting, which is a presentation from the Division of Community and Regional Affairs. So we're going to take a brief at ease. We'll come back on the record. We will now have a presentation on the community database. It's a new database from the Division of Community and Regional Affairs, the Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development. Presenting will be Division Director Sandra Moeller and Research Analyst Jade Bickmore. Ms. Moeller and Ms. Bickmore, please come to the table, introduce yourselves for the record, and begin your presentation.
Okay, good morning, Madam Chair and members of the committee. Sandra Moeller, Director of Division of Community and Regional Affairs. Thank you for the opportunity to share with you some of the wonderful things that the division is working on, has been working on. On the first slide, what I'd like to start with is our next slide. There you go. Starting with our mission statement, because I think that sets a tone for what the division is focused on. Our mission is helping Alaskan communities build sustainable economies and a means of self-governance. So we carry that with us every day as we move through our different programs that we have. I also reference the Alaska Constitution, which we have a mandate to advise and assist local governments, review their activities, and collect and publish the local government information. And I highlighted the collect and publish because that's what we're showing you today. We also have other duties as prescribed by law, which perhaps we'll have another chance to share some of the other wonderful things we're doing at the division. Our division covers a vast array of different programs and efforts to help communities. Here's a listing of the types of programs we have. We have 54 employees, and we collect and produce the community database through the research and analysis section. As you can see from the list here, we also deal with land planning for ANCSA lands as well as municipal lands and trust, the RUBA program, Office of the State Assessor, and local boundary commission are housed in DCRA, We have a variety of grants that are provided under the Community Aid and Accountability. And we also have the Alaska Native Language Preservation Advisory Council. We staff that, as well as Serve Alaska in our Anchorage office. So what is the CDO? When I started, that was my question. I'd always called it the DCRA mapping program, which some of you may have used in the past. But this basically started with community mapping that was used for infrastructure. It was a very critical first piece of information when you went to a community. It not only showed the mapping, aerial mapping, but also utilities were added, as well as community population, the types of government, the local representatives. Very useful information for somebody that hasn't been into a community and wanted to get the background on it. So that was some of the early days. It evolved into online usage and tables and putting maps in with tables and data, different varieties of data. So in November, our new CDO was created and launched, and it provides a variety of different information that you can have at your fingertips, basically. It has information on all Alaska communities, places of interest. It's a wealth of basic information. Things that you can do is you can download the data. We have primarily community resource information, that, like I mentioned before, the population and some economic indicators. You can review and print certain reports. I don't know if anybody's had a chance to go on. Hopefully after this presentation, you'll all be interested in finding out more after Jade does her presentation. Another neat feature that we have is we can create personalized maps. So you can import data into a mapping so that you have geographic information. So it's a relational database that I'm a map person, and putting data into it is really critical. So you can see the impacts of it. And as Jade goes through, we'll be able to see some of those applications. Some of the queries that we've gotten are listed here, and it gives you a sense of types of questions that this database can help answer. And part of what we want to see is that this evolves and this grows. So we can get, Jade probably can give you the number of types of number of inquiries she gets every day, but it's very important as a resource for many people. We've done a survey back, I think, in 2017 of just some of the users and what they're most interested in, why they use it, how often they use it, and you know that provides information. I'm thinking of doing another one in the future just to make sure that we're staying current with what people are looking at the CDO for. Usefulness as they do business in Alaska, as they visit Alaska, as they come into Alaska. Next one. The next slide, basically, the last slide shows how we're trying to modernize our data collection. We do have it in a new platform called ESRI, which is very powerful. We are looking at adding economic metrics to attract investment, so that'll marry in some of the our sister division economic development, as well as some natural resource data, additional community infrastructure, and additional ideas and thoughts that communities have for their economic development. And so that's the overview. Jade's going to walk us through it, but I'd like to offer up, if you have other suggestions, things that you've been looking for, things that you think would be useful for yourself and others, the idea is that this is a resource for you and everybody in Alaska. And we'd like to make it as powerful as possible. And with that, I'll let the technician, Jade, take over the control of the application if there isn't any questions on the presentation at this point.
Members, do you have any questions? I'm going to give Ms. Moeller, who's the typical user? Are they mostly government agencies, state, local governments? Is it half and half with government versus... You mentioned private sector businesses seeking information, looking at expansion. So,
yes.
Do you have any idea?
Through the chair, thank you. Yes, you're correct, and it's mostly state entities or regional entities that are looking at how they can work with the community. So, I am hopeful that we expand our user base for those that can really look at this as useful information. And part of doing the hearing today is to let people all over Alaska know that this is a resource out there and to really increase the user base. Thank you.
How often do you get private sector businesses who, you know, just call up or log on and say, I want to know where all the fish processing plants? I think that was one of the queries you showed.
This is Jade Bickmore. I'm a research analyst with the Division of Community and Regional Affairs. We get a lot of inquiries. A lot of them are researchers, and one of the things that our system does allow people to download the data and look at it any way they want. They can download any of the maps. Any of the information we post out there, you can actually download a CSV file and open it up in Excel. We get a lot of businesses that are asking about a given area, a lot of grantees, people that want to know who the contacts are for a given community.
Okay. Cool. Now show us. Thank you.
Once again, my name is Jade Bickmore, and I am the research analysis manager. And we worked really hard to create a system that anybody can access, can find the information they're looking for. And because we do have a lot of stakeholders, people that want the information, we want to make sure that they can find it in a variety of ways and what meets their needs. This is our main page. And you will notice several things on here linked back to the state of Alaska, home, any of the pages you're on, the home will take you back to this portal. This goes to our Division of Community and Regional Affairs homepage. About our data, this is a metadata page. It shows you where we get the data from, has direct links to all of those agencies, so you can look up that information yourself. Here's something I really want everybody to understand. We, through all of our pages, all of our apps, all of the things we have a how-to. And this is a very useful tool. We go through, we show you all of the different features, shows you what the icons are, and makes it so that you can actually know how to navigate through the system. Tells you what each one of these different features are, how to find that data. You can do your data topics. It shows you the tags and how you can find, search for, through this variety of features we have here. Your data set page, this gives you the overview. This also is the metadata area. And then you go to the data and it'll actually show you the data that you can then filter and either download the entire data set, or you can actually filter it for specific communities or specific years. Here is one of the filter, and I will go through some of these different things, but I just wanted you to see that we do have several how-to. This is a totally new system. It is something that the state of Alaska has not done, and we have, this is just recent that we have looked into presenting the data in this manner. I will go back to the front page. Here is also...
You said it's totally new. When did it come online?
November 27th. So it is new. And one of the other things, we are constantly evolving, adding new data. We're adding historical data. That was one of the things that the old system did not allow. It was all flat files, and anytime we uploaded the new data set, it overrode the previous data, so all you saw was the most recent. The new system allows us to have that historical, so you can look at trends, do research, looking back. And this What's New tab, this actually will take you to the most recent stuff that we've added. So I would check back to this on a regular basis. You can, this gives you just kind of a high level of what we've recently posted on, and then gives you link directly to those. Okay, so One of the things that I do want to mention, this site doesn't play very well with Internet Explorer. Just be aware that some of the features may not look the same with Internet Explorer, so try Chrome or Firefox. We are working regularly and trying to make sure that it is viewable. You can view it on your tablet, you can view it on your phone, but Internet Explorer, some of the things just don't quite show quite as well. As you can see here, this highlighted area, these are the organized boroughs, and then the communities throughout Alaska. And then you can go in and you can actually take a look at a given community. And through here, you've got the community details. This will take you to something that looks and has most of the information we had in our previous CDO. So if you were familiar with that, this is you would recognize most of this information. As soon as the pictures come up. Your current population is 283. Incorporated date, the type of city. For each one of the communities, we have actually, if you need the pronunciation of that community, we have worked with our linguist who actually will show you how to say each one. This is the native place pronunciation, and this is the English. And we have this for all of our communities. Then you go through with your community and history. This is from a survey we had done several years back and worked with the library. Talks about how it came to be, some of the things that have gone on there, and we are looking to update some of this information. You can see the geographic and climate information and actually see which different area or region that community does. It tells you actually the square miles of that community. And here you've got your demographics. And what you'll see with these maps is you can actually scroll in and look at the detail. So you can look around, you can see the roads, you can see quite a variety of information. These are all interactive little maps. Go back to home to get the initial. This is the boundary of the community. Here you've got your demographics. And you can actually look up here the population from 2011 moving forward. And we also have the table of the same information there. Now you have your current population by race, by age, by sex. And this is all from the US Census Bureau. And you will find links throughout all of our story maps. If you want information on this, it'll take you directly to another app. Take you to the other websites where we've got the information depending on what the links are. Here you've got your transportation. Once again, you can scroll in, see where the airport is. You can actually see the roads. We've actually had an inquiry from somebody in the community that wanted to know who was responsible for plowing their road in front of their business or their home. And we were actually able to show who was the responsible party for that. So there are a lot of nice features in this. Now you've got your Department of Education, you see the school, and here you've got enrollment that you can click on the different ones going back. And once again, we have we don't have all of the historical data. We are working on that. So we're having to go back out to the provider of the data and get that historical data, and then we will be also having additional years in there. Officials, you can actually, we're working on doing some updates for the city council members, but you can scroll in throughout Alaska and actually see who represents you in which area. It talks about if there's any restrictions, alcohol restrictions. You will find this for all of our community story maps. Economy, you see whether there is a tax or not. Median household income, poverty, general services, healthcare facilities. And you can click on these and it'll give you the information related to that. Utilities, water source, and then you've got ANCSA, whether it's a part of the ANCSA corporations or not. And get the legend back down here. Here you go. And then, of course, your contacts for that community. And then also the contact information for the tribes. We're constantly updating our data associated with these communities. So it's one of those things I would check back regularly if there's something you don't see. I will continue on. One of the things that we had in the old system, we used to have all the business licensing. And for any communities under 2,500, we get a listing of the current business license. And we post those here off to the right. But as some of those bigger communities or as the list is getting longer, we also have embedded in here the business license. You can do your own search right here on the screen.
Representative Thompson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was just curious on how detailed it gets, like, let's say, Fairbanks sales tax. Do you gather and have it listed as the source of that sales tax? We have tobacco, we have alcohol, we have bed tax, we have marijuana tax. Does it list those out separately?
Through the chair, yes, we do have actually several different ways to actually find that out, and I can show you our taxable, the 2018 Alaska taxable, where we have all of that information. You can search through a story map, which is what this is called, and or you can actually look at the data itself and get a spreadsheet. And through each one of these apps, you can actually, the data that's represented, you can actually pull down all of the data, the table that that data is representing. So I will show some of those here, just a second.
Thank you.
Yeah, let's go to Fairbanks and see how much is spent on beer and tobacco, and let's see, what other things do young men in Fairbanks? Marijuana, maybe they spend some money on that in Fairbanks. Bed tax, okay. No sales tax of a general nature in Fairbanks still?
No.
Oh. No, no. Yeah, I will certainly get to those, so I'm not. One of the other things that I wanted to show you is if you're clicking on this and you click on a given community, you will actually see it highlight where it is. And then we also have several other things associated with this. You have your, if you want community photos, you can link directly to where that information is. The community plans, there is a link that will take you to where those are located. Profile maps and even the financial documents. So all of this data is here for the communities. And this is only a small part of what it is we have, so I will go on to some of the other things.
Representative Jackson.
Thank you. Through the chair, so on this map before we go away, if you click a dot on there, does it give you, does the information for that area come up?
Through the chair, yes. If you click on, I can click on any of these communities. You can see the community details, if it was incorporated or non-incorporated. You can actually even click on North Slope Borough and find that information. So this is all interactive.
Thank you.
All right. I will continue on with some of the other features we have here. One of the things that you will see is we've got the navigation bar, and this will take you to a variety of things associated with this. We have the What's New. I showed you that's the link on the top. Interactive applications. These are some of, it's the same thing as this. We have designed certain apps that are specific to a given topic, and you can explore that information. We have a variety of features associated with that. So we want everybody to take advantage and look at those, but it doesn't mean that that's the only place you can get that information. You can explore it yourself in any way that you are interested in. We have the data for download. These are the tables that we pull down from all the other agencies, and where you can sort, you can filter, and actually download that data. Our DCRA website, our main website. Data requests. If somebody is actually has a data request and is, wants information, they can send us a through a survey, send us the information, and we can get back to them. We have a feedback link, how they like it, if they're any interest. And then we also have GIS links, and this one is for all of the other state agencies that actually have GIS and have similar tools. We can actually pull directly some of their information into our site, and some of those we already do, but there is a quite a wealth of other information that is out there that you can look for and find. Excuse me. Next is the community contact directory. And one of the things that I wanted to note is not only do we've tried with all of our apps and pages with this, we actually have created how to use. And we are now also on some of our apps, and in the future we're going to be having video tutorials, so to walk somebody through how to get this information. So now we actually have a how to print label tutorial, so you can actually click on that. It'll walk you through all of the steps, what it is you want to do. Some people can read the information, some people can follow along with a video, so we are working on that. So in here you have the different communities through the schools, if you want the school district. We even have VPSOs, who the contact would be for those. And you will look on some of our apps and maps, you'll see this little thing here on the bottom. This is an attribute table. And as I was saying earlier, all of the data represented on the maps, you can actually see the data itself. And you can download this if you are interested. And you can filter. You can add expressions. You can do a variety of things that you want to have only all of the things associated with a given community.
What's an expression in this context?
It's basically it's saying what fields. Like if you see here, we have the different columns of data, an easy way to explain it. And then you can actually search on the specific community. Let's say you want to say, you only want to see anything associated with ADAC. And this will give you ADAC. And then you filter by map extent. Of course, that's not there. And as you can see, as you move around, right now I've got it just filtered on for Juneau here, for your municipality and the information related to that. But one of the things, as you move around in the map and the data below will change depending on where you are. So it only represents the data you have there. If you want to look at everything, you go back to home. And in your options here, if you wanted to have this data that's down below in the tables, you can actually go down under options and explore export to CSV, and it actually will export either all of the data or the data that you have filtered. So if you want to do research, you want to look at more information, you just wanted a spreadsheet that has all the contact information for all of the communities, you can do that. So here are all of the schools, the contacts, here are the school districts. You can go over here and you can say, I only want the Alaska schools and the contacts. And then you get that here. And like I said, you can print this off, you can do whatever. You can also create labels, and the explanation on how to do that is both in the PDF guide as well as the tutorial. I won't go through that at this time, but we do provide that for all of our data sets. Okay, here are the story maps, and one of the things that I did want to, so there's two ways to get it. You have the map up above where you can actually select any of the communities through that list. You can click on the map and community details, or you can also come below. And this is the community overview of the story maps. This tells you whether it's a community map, whether it's unincorporated, and we have them broken out with different tabs here where you can see the different communities. Those that do not have a picture, we are still waiting for good quality pictures from those communities that we can use. So if you see the app or you see the Aurora Borealis in the original map, those are ones we don't have good quality pictures. We are working on getting newer pictures on those, so stay tuned as those come across. The unincorporated maps, of course, don't have all of the data. We don't have as much information on those. So, but they still follow the similar format.
How is, if an unincorporated, mostly unincorporated communities that don't have pictures up there, is it just if somebody shows up in census data as that being their place of residence, they get to have a spot on the map, or... How do you get to be an unincorporated community without any constraints? I saw that Harding Lake, yeah. And I just think of it as the suburb of Fairbanks, but maybe Mr. Thompson can claim Harding Lake as a separate unincorporated community.
They kind of do. We've got an unofficial mayor out there.
I thought that was the guy who just had the biggest dock for whatever year. No, okay. There's... It's more official than that.
We do have a community meeting once a year. We do community cleanups and road stuff.
Okay.
Pretty involved community, really.
Okay.
Through the chair, for the unincorporated, you will find it is a CDP. There's some information related to population that we get. And that is very important for grants and other things related to those communities. So they don't have all of the information, of course, because they don't have, they're not incorporated, they don't have all of the regular contacts and information. But there is a lot of information associated with it, and as more and more communities are looking at becoming incorporated, it is nice to have that information there.
Representative Drummond.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Ms. Bickmore. You just mentioned an abbreviation, which I'm not familiar with, the CDP.
Census Designated Place, and that's from the Census Bureau, Department of Labor utilizes that.
Thank you.
And so if you ever go to Department of Labor and look at the population, a lot of it is CDP. Okay, we have the community story maps. One of the other pieces that I think is important to see is we also have the boroughs. And the boroughs, as you know, Alaska is really different. And we don't have We don't have counties. We have a lot of unincorporated boroughs. We have a lot of information related to that. So when we talk about a community, we talk about a place. We talk about a place on the in Alaska. And for most of us, the data sets, we've tied it to either the city hall or to the school, and that's where we, so when you see it on a map, that's usually where we map it to. Boroughs, because boroughs often entail other communities, they story map for that didn't make this make sense. So we wanted to have some story maps that actually talked about those census areas and boroughs, and then information that is related to that and not so much of the community. So one of the things that you will see in Fairbanks borough, it comes up, as you see where it is here, and your overview tells a little bit about the area, information related to it, the Latin long. It also talks about, we don't have a good picture of the borough compared to the city.
Steve, you gotta do something about that. Mm-hmm. You have to do something about that.
Well, that's a beautiful picture.
We thought it, if we didn't have any, we at least had a really pretty picture of Alaska. Talk about the square miles. And then you go into the communities here. And here are some of the CDPs related to that. You have within the North Star Borough, you have Steele Creek, Fairbanks, North Pole, Harding, Birch Lakes. And you can see we do have story maps related to all of these, which gives you a little bit more information on that community itself. And then you go, of course, these are the demographics and things at that borough level compared to the city level. And you can go and find additional information. If there's not information at the borough level, you can go directly to those communities within there to get some of that information. We have education, so you see all of the schools within that area. You can click on any of these in here and see the name of the school, information related to that. Here is economics. This is for the borough. You see the sales tax, property tax, the types of taxes. Poverty level, and like I said, it's really hard because there's not a true data set that covers the borough, the city, the CDP, so some have more information than others do.
Okay, so if we go back to the sales tax
icon
here.
And this is for the borough, not the city.
Yes.
Yeah. Is that what you wanted to look at?
Well, either way, I was just curious if it is broke down by type.
So we can actually go to that. You can see sales tax information a variety of ways. And this is the Alaska taxable, and this is another one that I actually was going to show you next. Once again, here's the borough, the officials, the mayor, and then the contact information. So this is the borough compared to the community. There is not as much information on everything in this one. Now let's go back. And here are some of the interactive maps. These are those predefined story maps and apps that we have already pulled in all this information so you can actually look at and delve into it a little bit more. We just posted the Alaska fuel price report. We normally go out and every year we have 100 communities throughout the state that we actually look at the fuel prices. And we used to actually print this on just a regular report. We are now moving some of our reports into this type of format. It's more interactive. You can find out some of that same information, but people are enjoying the new format. And this just talks about how fuel gets to the different communities and some of the struggles they have, transportation methods. Wait for that to load. You have the gasoline prices in Alaska. As you can see, those ones are different prices for 2019.
In case you can't read it, it says the average price per gallon in January of 2019 was $5.20 per gallon.
Where?
January.
Right here.
Go to the next line down.
Yeah. That's the national average.
100 survey.
Yeah.
No, this
is not national. Is that Alaska?
Alaska 520.
Alaska's 520.
National 225.
290 in Fairbanks, 360 here in Juneau.
Right.
That's a big difference.
Yes, it is. And that's one of the things. This is only the 100 communities that we have surveyed for several years now, then going back to 2011. Gasoline by prices by region. You see this hole here in Anchorage because we do not survey any communities within Anchorage for this report. This is just our 100 communities that we do. Oops. Winter gasoline prices. This is one of the apps that actually shows over time of the changes from the different years. You can actually watch the map and the colors change. Comparison of the prices compared to the national gasoline prices. Heating fuel by community is the same type thing. Once again, you see the donut holes here in Anchorage and the North Slope Borough. The reason why those are not in this is that North Slope Borough has a subsidized cost for heating fuel. So it to show it here is far below the average. And this tells you a little bit about the heating fuel in North Slope Borough. And then the winter fuel prices. You can go through any of these and explore, and I certainly encourage anybody that has any interest to please explore any of this, and if you have any questions, to please let us know. Once again, here is the heating fuel compared to the national average. Quite dramatic.
Yeah.
And so you can continue on with any of these maps. These will take you to links within here will take you to a variety of other places where we get the data from. And here are the links to the U.S. Energy Information, Department of Revenue, and then, of course, if you have any questions to the division. So now I will go down and show you a little bit of some of our different data sets for download. This is that same information that you see on the maps and that comes on the bottom. You can actually just look at the data. If you're a researcher, you just want to get a spreadsheet of something, you can come here and find out all of that same information. So let's do transportation. And this will show you actually the runways, the airport runways, whether they're essential air service communities. They get subsidized. You see the information related underneath those. The Alaska roads, airports, ferry terminals, and a variety of other things. So let's take a look at Essential Air Service. And underneath each one of these, you will see some metadata that talks about where the information came from, what it represents, and then it has links back to where we get the data from. You go to the data. This is the spreadsheet. And once again, you can filter on this little thing, looks like a funnel. and this will show you that, and see how the map changed as I filtered this, so it only represents those two. If you wanted to download this data, you can go here to the right to the download. If you want the full data set, which is everything on this table, you can click that in spreadsheet and it'll actually download that as a CSV that you can open in Excel. Or if you want the filter, it'll just give you those two communities or however many you are interested in. One of the other nice features with this, and you can find any of that data that we have posted in this data for download. These are the tables of the data that we that support everything we've got. You can actually come up here and do a build your own map, which means you can actually go out and pull in this data and actually look at the data in any manner that you like. You can have a couple different things that you want to look at, compare communities and that over time. Once again, how to use this app is information that I would take advantage of if you want to do that. You go through this list and decide any of this information you want to have. Just click add. Oops, add failed. Come on. We'll try. It's one of the things that, because we tie into the DOT, Department of Transportation, and some of their data that they have there, we have a link to where they have their data at, and if for whatever reason they're down, we it affects something if they change where their website and location is. That is one of the things that does affect us, which is one reason why we download most of the data to our site, because we have more control over some of that. But as more and more agencies are hopefully going to be going to this, we're hoping that we don't have to download all of their data. We can just directly tie into their data sets and be able to do the same thing. You've got the population. And let's see. And taxes. Okay. You can just go through, and this shows you Alaska communities. And as you can see with these, any time you see over here, off to the right, the three little dots, this actually will give you, you go down here and view an attribute table. And this gives you that same data that is that we are using for the map or any of the apps we have. So if you just wanted to download this data or you wanted to look at taxes for a given year, you can actually go in and sort there and you can actually see it on the map. So there are a lot of different features you can do. You can also go in and export your data to a spreadsheet if you want to do more research.
Representative Thompson.
Thank you. It's a lot of data. The data is just amazing. How much of this is put in by the communities themselves, and how much do you have to put in? And if that's you putting it all in, you're, how many people are working?
I have a total of five people within my group, and we were able to use this platform, the ESRI platform, enabled us to do this with very little IT support. Basically, they're spreadsheets, so the data itself can then be visualized. This tool has really opened up our ability to look at data and delve into the nuances, compare year to year, where, like I said, the previous system, all you saw was the most recent updated. You saw no historical data. And the old system was also extremely time-consuming, and it basically, all of our time was just doing a simple update, very little research. So this tool has really enabled us to really start looking at the data and what's important to Alaska, to the body. I really want to have a tool that it doesn't matter if you just want to find out for school, you want to find out information on a given community, you can download that story map. And that was a feature I didn't show you, and I can show you that too. But or if you want to compare taxes over time, you want to compare commercial fisheries, you want to see just about anything you want to find, we have information related to that. Now, it's limited to what information is public. It's limited to what information that we can then tie to a given community. We know a lot of agencies have data, but they have their own database, and so they have their own codes. So we have to work to tie that to a community so then you can visualize that information.
Thank you.
Ms. Bickmore, tell us the did you come up with this great idea? Did your staff? How long did it take you to develop? And I don't know if you'd like to take the opportunity to introduce your staffer here with you today, or whether they don't, whether they'd rather just be anonymous sitting there going, she'll tell us if we have a problem.
First of all, this was not my idea. Through the chair, I apologize. This was not my idea. This was my predecessor, and we actually were looking at replacing a failing system, and we put out for bid, and it cost, just to get the existing system, was over $500,000. We did not have that money, and nor did we have the IT resources to do that. So we were looking at other ways. And my predecessor, Manjula Bonya, she was absolutely wonderful. She, we already had an ESRI tool, which to create a lot of the maps that you guys have seen. And she had gone down to a conference. And in meeting with the ESRI folks, they actually said, well, let's see what we can do. And we worked with them. And in 2017, we started kind of really looking at what it is we can do. We created the Alaska Taxable. We also created the RUBA report. And we started seeing how we can then display that information in this format. And when we saw that those were a success, we actually moved to this new forum. It's a learning curve. This is totally new. I'm from more of a database type background. This is more of a data warehouse. And we update the data as a data set, not as a single line for most of our data. So it's a little bit different, but this has provided a way to research, to really delve into areas we've never had the opportunity to. And for, I would like to introduce some of my staff. Emma, she is our ESRI analyst, Emma Hatcher. She has actually moved us to the next level. She actually has a degree with ESRI and has been able to help us learn some of the features that we didn't even know were there, and has actually been working with ESRI folks in expanding how it is we do the things we do. And next to him is, you have Kevin Prestigard. He is another research analyst. And the next to him is Eric Caldwell. And I also have two staff in Anchorage. I have another GIS analyst, one that you probably can credit for most of the maps you do, George Plumley. And then I have another research analyst who, Grace Bogine, and they have actually been wonderful. So basically all of the work has been done just by our staff.
If I just may add, Madam Chair, the
certainly
the entire group put this together, and we've actually received some awards for the work that's been pretty much cutting edge for this application.
I was going to call on Representative JKT, but not sure if we're selling this service to other states or quickly. I don't know how you patent the intellectual property of a collective, but I'm sure there's a way. Representative Tompkins.
Thank you. I was curious. contracting with Esri for the GIS services, was that a one-off contract that DCCD entered into, or was that piggybacking on something that DNR already had?
No, we already, through the chair, we actually already had a license in-house. George Plumley, who does all the maps, though most of his data was just to create the maps and then print them off or present them online. We actually added to that and gave us some more features. We actually gave us additional licenses to work on some of this data. We've got a server where we host the data and then we post it online. And through that, it's quite, we also get credits which we can use for additional training and support for the Esri folks. And they really are the ones that have helped move us to this level, because we really didn't fit into how most of the Esri folks, the agencies that use it, we're asking, well, we really like it, but we like it to do this. And so they helped us get to that next level.
Follow up,
please.
Can I ask how much the license with Esri is per year?
With our most current one that we have done is $80,000, and that actually, that one has a little bit more that gives us more credits to get one-on-one with their staff to actually work with things. They have allowed us to meet with the developers, and they have enabled one of the most recent things that they've enabled us to do. You saw those story maps. Can you imagine creating those one by one, pulling in that data one at a time? Well, what we wanted to do was see a way if we could automate that process. And so we worked with Emma Hatcher, actually worked with the Esri folks, and they worked to create a process to do that at one time. So we could actually create multiple community story maps through a single process, because all the data is all on separate tables. So it was just a matter of matching up the different communities. So that was one of the things that most recently we got credit for. It was actually presented at the developers conference as a, here's a nice way that somebody has used our product. And so we're continuing to kind of push the envelope, and is something I'm very proud of, because we're not settling with what they have existing. We want to see how we can make it better.
Thank you.
You bet. Representative Drummond.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is a wonderful database. It's I know I'm constantly looking for information, and every single database that you access operates in a different way, and it's really nice to see how you've made the access consistent across all the various kinds of information. Am I hearing that this is perhaps the only state community database, or are there other states with a similar database?
Through the chair, yes, this is the only one like this. We are the only one that ever has taken it to this level. The Esri software is a geospatial software, and they're more interested in a lot of the information they have available in a lot of communities, states. They have more plat level. They have more area, more pictures, more information that they have at their fingertips. We don't have that. And so we had to look at things differently. And State of Alaska, as you well know, is huge. And it has a vast number of areas, climate, communities. And this tool actually allows you to look at that in ways that you would have never done before. I would hear on the radio, they talk about some remote community and something's happening. I wouldn't recognize where that is. Now I can see those communities and the information related to that. I can see how close it is to other communities. Is it on the road system? I can investigate more information and learn more about this great state. through a tool like this that actually shows where that given community, where something's happening, and how best to solve potential problems.
Thank you.
Have you had the opportunity to promote this to other parts of state government, to other agencies? And I think of, as a freshman legislator, one of the first things that I found out about was the Legislative Research Division, and that I didn't have to do this individual research. I could ask them. But it would seem to me that they could turn to this database and find many of the factors that they might previously have spent hours researching. Do you feel like you've already been able to address that and get that message out, that this is a new tool to use, or is there something that we should be doing to make sure that it's promoted and used to its fullest extent possible?
Thank you for the question, Madam Chair. It is something we are trying to promote, hence this committee presentation. We are looking at focusing on what we've got here as our foundation and making sure it's strong. And then we'll be adding, as I mentioned, some of the economic data and definitely other state sites. We've talked with Alaska Energy Authority about their PCE data and looking at how we can incorporate that. They have a separate and different platform that they use, and Jade has been working with them directly to see how we can incorporate that as well. So it is, we're on the beginning parts of letting people know that this is up and going, and that's why we welcome all the ideas or questions that you might see. So
through the chair, yes, we actually have been working with some other agencies. They actually have asked them, some of them, to help us test as we were starting to come up. We were having presentations and having people come in and let us know what it is they saw, any issues, any questions, and that helped kind of streamline some of this process. And we now are doing weekly presentations, usually around 1 o'clock, and we invite people to come in, and more specific, if they want to find out how to add data to build your own map, we have an hour-long session to allow people to do that. And we have actually had several agencies attend some of that, a lot of researchers, and we would like to expand that up into the Anchorage area to also have some of those presentations there.
Great.
Okay, I had promised Alaska Taxable, and this is...
It's Representative Jackson.
I'm sorry.
Sorry.
That's okay. Through the chair, that was a very good question you asked. I'm wondering, one, the public sector, and two, so when you go on the state website and hit your division, does this now pop up?
Yes. Through the chair, to answer your question, right here is the Division of Community and Regional Affairs. It's under the Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development, and you'll see what's new at DCRA, and here is the community database online. You can also go directly here, community database online. It'll take you to the same spot, and then it is also down here below.
Follow up?
Go ahead, Representative Jackson.
Thank you. I want to say congratulations, because I've been to this page and I've never seen this much information on it. So your hard work is apparent. So thank you for that.
Thank you. Yeah. Let me try and close some of these others. Excuse me. We have a few here. All right. Here is the Alaska Taxable. And one of the things that, if you had ever seen the old Alaska Taxable, it was very thick. It had a lot of charts. It had a lot of information. And it really took people a long time to get to the information they were looking for. You know, how does this affect me? Do I have taxes in my community? More information related to that. So we kind of took this to the next level. And this is one of those that actually is, this was one of the first examples of utilizing this. So, and we actually received an award for some of our work on this, and actually were highlighted in the Esri magazine, as well as the Assessor magazine of place to do.
The Assessor magazine, sorry. That makes me laugh.
Tax assessors, yes. So, once again, how to use this data from this particular report. We have tried to incorporate that in every single one of our maps, apps. As you scroll down, you'll see taxation in Alaska, legend, those, we have the unified, non-unified, and those communities that have taxes. It talks about the different classifications of the municipalities. Gives information that all in one place, if you wanted to actually find information, what is the definition of a municipality compared to a borough, unincorporated, that sort of thing. Talks about tax determinations, first, second class cities, and then does my community have taxes? And you can do two things. First of all, here you have your community tax, yes, no, and the borough taxes. And I want to point out again down here, here is a table if you just wanted to look at the given communities and then the borough taxes also. If you just wanted, excuse me, a spreadsheet, and then you could just tap that down. And you can scroll into a given community, click on a community, see what the population is, whether it's incorporated or not. Reported tax revenues. Gives you an explanation of the data. And then city revenues. And if you want to see what that is for each different community. And then here you've got municipalities reporting tax revenue. You have 25% not reporting tax revenue.
Can we go ahead and drill down on Fairbanks? That's you wanted to know. Let's look.
Hold it just an example. I was trying to figure out how to get there.
Well, let's look.
Well, yes.
Because of course the Fairbanks North Star Borough will present a good example of a borough, municipality,
city.
Yeah. Unincorporated communities. Everybody still has to pay a bed tax.
Mm-hmm. Well, we probably ought to go up to, does my community have?
Juneau's too boring of a municipal government. We're unified and took everything in, you know. Fairbanks North Star kept things diverse, so you've got all the options that the state allows.
Couldn't afford it.
Now here you've got
you've
got Fairbanks, Home Rule City, sales tax note. You see the population and 14.95 mills for the North Slope Borough. And once again, if you wanted just variety of information, we could just filter. You've got Fairbanks, different taxes. certified population. You've got 8% bed tax, 8% sales tax, city tobacco tax 5, and it doesn't show anything for the marijuana at this time. It may not have been added in.
And we're looking at the city or the borough?
This is the city.
The city.
Now, let me just ask a question, Ms. Big. So unlike the marijuana tax, there's no city marijuana tax. Should it reflect the state marijuana tax?
There is a city
marijuana tax. There is a city marijuana tax.
Yeah. It just may not have been updated yet. We were waiting on some of that data to get in.
Okay.
So we are working, like I said, we are working with a variety of agencies. So let's revenue. This is revenue for Fairbanks. And here you go.
Wow.
Home rule city, 8% bed tax. This is the revenue from the different taxes. There you go, the marijuana. It just didn't show up on the main one. 5%, 32,000.
But 2.2 million on alcohol taxes, so Fairbanks is still drinking more than they're smoking.
Interestingly.
Representative Drummond.
Anchorage has a 5% marijuana tax on top of the state tax, and Anchorage raised $4.5 million on that marijuana tax in its first year.
Amazing.
But now we'd have to compare it to their alcohol tax to see where the shift is.
That's right. Well, it's on the ballot right now to increase the alcohol.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Ms.
I am late for another meeting I'm going to have to run to, but I wanted to thank the department. You're doing an incredible job with a small crew. And for somebody that learned how to type on an old Royal non-electric typewriter, I'm amazed at what the world has come to.
Thank you.
Representative Thompson, if you take this home and show your son this, he will have you research all the data. Is he 9?
He just turned 8.
8.
Today is his birthday.
Yeah, so he'll get the rest of that data uploaded for you and
yes,
programmed. And
thank you.
Thank you.
Happy birthday to Max.
Thank you.
Great.
Is there anything you would like to leave us with the close? I knew that we had some overlapping membership. Mm-hmm. It is not for lack of interest that they're exiting. It is. We have more tasks to do. They have to get to finance committee and other things. I guess none of them had to get to finance, but we need to make sure your department is still funded, I suppose.
We appreciate that, Madam Chair. And just to close, you know, hopefully give you an idea of the types of things that you can search for, what kind of data we collect. We are tasked again to collect this data, and we really work hard to make it presentable and usable. So. Again, it is related to how much data and what good data we get. So we are reporting it. There's very little massaging or adjustments to the data. We're just reporting it. So if there's items of interest that you don't see as you're looking at our site, please let us know and we'll try to see if we can add that in. And thank you very much for the time and opportunity to present.
Comment. Representative Drummond.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate learning about this. Now I'm going to go back to my office and try not to be distracted by wanting to explore this database instead of doing the work that my staff wants me to do this morning. Thank you.
I do want to make sure we formally on the record thank both Ms. Moeller, Ms. Bickmore, and her division and staff for developing this, reaching out to us to provide the opportunity to present this, and to my co-chair for giving me the opportunity to run a meeting all by myself with her at my side, but on great information that gives everybody lots of things to think about and research, and look forward to learning more and helping improve Alaska's policy by using data-informed decision-making. So our next meeting is on Thursday at 8 a.m. in this room, and we will be taking up House Bill 72 again, and we will have our first hearing of House Bill 56, an act establishing May 15th of each year as Hmong American Veterans Day. And with that, we are adjourned at 9:40.